Colossians. We'll look over there in just a second. But before we start over there, I want you to think for just one second. If I were to tell you that out of all the people on this entire planet, one out of every 13 people have something. Just think what that something might be. Is it a car? Is it a television? Is it a computer? What if I were to tell you that one out of every 13 people on this entire planet have a Facebook? 500 million people have a Facebook, and that number is growing exponentially. I really wish that Mr. Dave was here, because he would just be smiling so much if he would have known that I would have started out with something like that, because he would feel so special to be in that category. Make him feel young again. Some did you knows about Facebook. About 1 year ago, Microsoft Word did not accept the word Facebook as a valid word. Now it does. 28% of people check their Facebook on a smartphone before they even get out of bed. Facebook was the most searched term on any search engine from 2009 to 2011. 48% of 18 to 34-year-olds check Facebook right after they wake up. I guess it could be safe to say that our society is obsessed with this thing called Facebook. Why can't people get that obsessed with something that actually matters, though? I guarantee that not 48% of all 18 to 34-year-olds check their Bible immediately following after they wake up. Today I want us to look at five items or tools that are from or about Facebook and apply them to our lives spiritually. I want us to use and look at those tools that are on this so popular Facebook that I'm sure many of us do have in a spiritual way for us as Christians. Those aspects of Facebook, I want us to think about and apply them towards being a better Christian for God. And the first one is that it consumes us. Excuse my handwriting, it may not be the best, but I constantly joke around with one of my friends about how she might have an addiction problem to Facebook. But hopefully, I know that she's actually not, but there are some people that might be true for, that they are actually addicted to Facebook, just constantly on their phone, on an iPad, on the computer. Even at school, teachers can't even teach a class without students checking their Facebook. And I read an article about a church that had this problem, about members on Facebook during church. But it scares me how much people can spend, how much time they can just waste on something like Facebook. But as Christians, shouldn't we be obsessed with something like our relationship with God? And that's the first point I wanted to bring up with this idea of Facebook, that Christianity should be what is consuming us, not Facebook. And based off those stats that we went over earlier, I think it would be safe to say that the world has this backwards. They're obsessed with something like Facebook more than their relationship with God. I feel as though I'm kind of beating this into the ground a little bit, as we've gone over this a little bit in class on Sunday mornings, that being a Christian isn't something that we only do on Sundays and Wednesdays. That this is a lifetime commitment that we have with God, that we should be living for Him every single day. And if only we put as much time into being a Christian as we did maybe spending it with our time on Facebook, we would be so much stronger. Reaching for God's Word right when we wake up in the morning, meditating on His Word day and night. We need to let the Word of God consume us. In Colossians, in chapter 1, Colossians chapter 1, begin with me in verse 9. For this reason we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you, and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of His will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing Him, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God. We need to walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing Him, fully, entirely, putting all of our effort into pleasing Him. And then increasing in the knowledge of God. If we are consumed in something, that object is going to be around us at all times, not able to escape from it. Well, if that thing that we are consumed in is God's Word, we can only grow in God's Word and the knowledge that He would have us to know. With all this new technology, though, it's so easy to get ensnared into this new Facebook trend. But if we remember what our purpose is and who we should be trying to please here on earth, that is going to get us much further in life than spending our time on Facebook. Look over in James. James chapter 4, and in verse 15, instead you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we shall live and do this or that. This right here should be our attitude of life, living by what the Lord would have us to do rather than what we would like to do. And then over in Colossians again, Colossians chapter 3 this time. Colossians chapter 3 and in verse 17. And whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God, the Father, through Him. In everything that we do, we need to do it in the name of the Lord. This is God's time that He has granted each and every one of us to live here on earth. And we need to make sure that we are using it wisely for a good purpose, serving the Lord. That's the thing, though. It's so easy for us to get caught up in. We let something like Facebook take over in our lives. But we need to step back and realize what is most important in our lives. We should be fully pleasing God, not our friends, and not even ourselves, but God first and foremost. We need to let the Word of God consume us and not Facebook. There's a really handy little button on Facebook that you can use, and I really wish that you could use this in real life. You can block somebody, so you know you don't have to see anything that they put up, and then they can't see you, and I mean, you can just separate yourself from that person. And then you can also entirely unfriend that person. And unfriend, thankfully, is not an accepted word on Microsoft Word as well. Unfriend was a word that Facebook basically created, and now people use it as an actual word when the word unfriend is not actually a word at all. It's a little tangent. How convenient would this be for all of us at some point throughout our days at work, I'm sure, to just maybe a mute button on somebody, block them, just get away from me sometimes. I use this button on Facebook quite often to get people out of my mind. I shouldn't be letting my mind be filled with the trash that they're putting on Facebook. I don't need to see what filth and wicked things and corrupt things that they're involved in. I need to focus on keeping myself pure. And that's hard enough to be doing. But not only is this something that is beneficial on Facebook, it is something that we should be doing spiritually. Blocking certain people from our lives that may be interfering with us spiritually in our walk towards heaven. Over in 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. While you're looking there, I just want to make it clear that I'm not trying to bash on Facebook for this sermon. I just want to say that we need to step back and realize what is most important in our lives sometimes and not get caught up in all the stuff that everybody else is doing, but more so focus about ourselves and our relationship with God first and foremost. So over in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, Look in verse 33. Do not be deceived. Evil company corrupts good habits. If you are a good person, but hang around evil people, eventually you are going to be corrupted. It's just going to happen. And the sad thing is, it can happen so fast without us even realizing it. Just because this verse is a little simpler and smaller doesn't take away from its validity at all. People commonly use this verse, but mostly because it is so true. They can corrupt you so fast if you give them that opportunity, allow them to sneak into your lives. Over in Galatians chapter 5, and in verse 9, a little leaven leavens the whole lump. Just a little bit of leaven is all it takes for a loaf of bread to rise, but you put too much in and it will rise, and it will rise fast, as we talked about in the Bible class as well. And the same thing can happen with those people that we hang around. We spend too much time around them constantly. Next thing you know, we start acting like them, and we pick up on some of the things that they do and they say. I've mentioned this before, but my mom can tell who I'm hanging around at school with by the way I come home with the lingo that I'm talking with. Certain friends tend to rub off on me certain ways. I'm not sure if that's always a good thing, but she can definitely tell, and it just goes to prove that the people we hang around do influence us. Even if we don't realize it, they do influence us. And that is why it is so important that we choose very wisely, very carefully, who we are spending our time with. Or else, if they are the wrong type of people, they will corrupt not just our habits, but our good habits that we have. Our good habits of a strong Christian. And that is why in some situations, we just need to simply flee away. Get away from the sin and move away. Block somebody. Over in 2 Timothy. Second Timothy chapter 2 and in verse 22. Flee also youthful lusts, but pursue righteousness, faith, love, peace with those who call on the Lord out of a pure heart. Not only is this verse good because it tells us that we need to run away sometimes, but it also tells us what we should be running to and then focusing on instead. Pursue righteousness, faith, love, peace, setting our minds on higher things, more godly things. Don't spend your time around those wicked people, but get away from them. Flee from temptation. Don't yield to it. But just because we may be forced to live in this world does not mean that we have to be a part of it. Look over in 1 Corinthians again. First Corinthians chapter 5. Begin reading with me in verse 9. I wrote to you in my epistle not to keep company with sexually immoral people, yet I certainly did not mean with the sexually immoral people of this world, or with the covetous, or extortioners, or idolaters, since then you need to go out of the world. But now I have written to you not to keep company with anyone named a brother who is sexually immoral, or covetous, or an idolater, or a reviler, or a drunkard, or an extortioner, not even to eat with such a person. For what have I to do with judging those who are also who are outside? Do you not judge those who are inside? But those who are outside God judges. Therefore, put away from yourselves the evil person. This verse really says a lot for us about, as Christians, of how we should be living our lives. We are not supposed to even eat with such a person, as it mentions all the type of things that they are involved in verse 11. Not even supposed to eat with such a person. Yet, sometimes we find ourselves hanging out with those type of people, spending our free time with them. Instead, we need to put away the evil person from us. And I think that is a perfect motto for this section of blocking somebody. Put them away from you so you don't have to deal with them anymore. There is a time where we need to block people and we need to put them away from ourselves. Don't let them influence you for wrong. But instead, let's simply block them so we don't have to deal with that and put ourselves in tempting situations. Something that we can, all of us can and should be doing on Facebook and as well in real life. Once again, there is another button on Facebook. This one is called the poke button. And I'm always scratching my head of, what is the actual purpose of this button? For those of you that don't have it, you can go to one of your friend's profile, and there's an option in the upper right-hand corner. You can message them, or you can poke them. I've never personally done it, but I just wonder, what is the point of this poke button? Why would we have it? People sometimes say that you're just pushing my buttons. I know that growing up with a twin brother and an older sister, my mom constantly told us that we're just trying to push each other's buttons. And I think that is exactly what the purpose of this poke button is. It's just to annoy people, or maybe for little girls it's a flirting device. I'm not sure. But sometimes we fall into that tendency of just getting on people's nerves, pushing their buttons, arguing with them, debating. And this is something I hope none of us do purposefully in our day-to-day lives, getting on people's nerves and even to the point of anger and sinning and causing them to sin. Maybe this is something that some of us struggle with more than others because we just love the debate with others. We love to get in arguments and make sure that ourselves are right, even if it does mean getting them to the point of anger. But I want us to look at what the Bible says about poking others or pushing their buttons, making them get angry. So let's start over in Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 12 and in verse 14. Pursue peace with all people and holiness, without which no one will see the Lord. Pursue peace. Don't get caught up in arguments and trying to make people angry, but we should be trying to get along with one another. And notice, let's read over this one more time to see if you guys catch this. Pursue peace with all people and holiness, without which no one will see the Lord. Notice how it says, pursue peace with all people. Not just the people that we like, but that means that we have to pursue peace with everyone. Even those people that we may not see eye to eye with, and those people that you just kind of butt heads with, we have to still try to live peaceably with all men that are here on earth. So when you get that chance to maybe get a free jab at somebody, make a good joke on them, ooh, that's so tempting. They set themselves up and then you want to go in there and get a free jab. No, we need to be living peaceably with all the men, not making somebody angry. Remember verses like this where we should be striving for peace and not to cause a dispute or an argument. Look over in 1 Timothy this time. 1 Timothy chapter 5. And in verse 13, and besides, they learn to be idle, wandering about from house to house, and not only idle, but also gossips and busybodies, saying things which they ought not. And then skip down to verse 22. Do not lay hands on anyone hastily, nor share in other people's sins. Keep yourself pure. Looking at verse 13 first, one way that we can avoid the urge to push others' buttons is by simply minding our own business. Not gossiping or being a busybody, but worrying about ourselves. Because I know that each one of us has enough problems ourselves. I mean, it's hard enough to keep ourselves here. We don't need to be getting caught up in other people's business. Then verse 22 just reinforces that idea a little more of not sharing in others' sins. Don't get caught up in what other people are doing, especially if it is only going to cause problems. But focus on trying to keep yourself pure. I see so much drama on Facebook. That's one thing I can't wait to get away from college. So I can just start, I can start it now, but deleting all those high school people, those high school boys and girls off my Facebook friends list so I can just get rid of them. I mean, you see so much drama and it just makes me sick, and most of it, if not all, is started from people not minding their own business. I mean, you just go to somebody's wall, you see what they're doing, you scroll down. No, she didn't. She did that. What? And then all of a sudden, you get a huge catfight and drama. It's like a chain reaction on Facebook. I mean, it gets ugly. It's a problem that, I mean, has to get dealt with at school. The principals have to deal with it. I feel bad for them. I mean, the fact that something like Facebook, I mean, principals have to deal with that. That's how bad this drama is. And it can all be solved if they would simply mind their own business. But here's a helpful reminder, though. If we would just simply block those certain people in the first place, we would save ourselves a lot of trouble in the future and later down the road. That one's free. I'm not going to charge you for that. But I know that sometimes in certain situations, maybe that's unavoidable, to completely separate ourselves from others. Whether it be a coworker or maybe even a teacher. Yes, I did mention a teacher as an example. Don't always see eye to eye with teachers as well as coworkers. But we have to learn to deal with it sometimes. We just have to, without leading them or ourselves into sin and arguing and just causing strife with them. Over in 2 Timothy chapter 2 again. 2 Timothy chapter 2. Continuing on from what we read earlier in verse 23, 2 Timothy 2, verse 23, but avoid foolish and ignorant disputes, knowing that they generate strife. And a servant of the Lord must not quarrel, but be gentle to all, able to teach, patient. If a certain situation is not going to get you anywhere, then don't even get involved in the first place. Avoid foolish and ignorant disputes, knowing that they generate strife. This verse just perfectly sums up the point that I've been trying to get across of this idea of trying to push other people's buttons or poking them. That is going to cause nothing but problems. Like the quote I'm sure we've all heard, if you can't say anything nice, then don't say anything at all. If nothing good is going to come from this argument, then don't even bother getting involved. Because a servant of the Lord must not quarrel, must not bicker, must not fight, but be gentle and patient. That's my final thought on this topic of the poking button. And hopefully we can mind our own business and not get wrapped up with all the drama, especially all other worldly people that we might come in contact with, but more keep ourselves pure and not get wrapped up in what they are doing so much. After this sermon, I have a feeling that you guys are going to be masters of Facebook, even if you don't have one. There's so many things I've told you about Facebook so far, you're getting like a free demo on how to use Facebook. Another aspect of something that you can do on Facebook is you can simply message somebody. You can send them a simple message where no one else can see it but them. It's just like a text message, but over Facebook. As Christians, though, we need to be sending the message out, the true message, as we sing the song, Ring the Message Out, telling others the good news, not holding back to anyone. You never know who is going to obey the gospel. So don't pass up an opportunity to teach God's word and getting the message out, whether it be on Facebook or in real life. We need to make sure we're doing our part in getting God's words out to others. Look over in 1 Corinthians. First Corinthians chapter 3, starting in verse 6, the verse that we mentioned in Bible class this morning. I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So then neither he who plants is anything, nor he who waters, but God who gives the increase. Now he who plants and he who waters are one, and each one will receive his own reward according to his own labor. This is why it is so important that we do our part in delivering God's word to others, because you just don't know who is going to be saved in the end. You don't know who is going to receive the word of God and let it blossom inside them and become a faithful Christian and follower of God. Plant the seed with somebody, and then maybe somebody else may come along and check up on them and water that seed a little bit. And then the rest that we can do there is pray. I mean, let God give the increase. It's in God's hands now. We've done our part, but that doesn't mean that we stop after just one. We continue to teach and plant seeds in other people so that they may follow God as well. But it all starts with us. We first have to be bold enough to proclaim God's message to others, not ashamed of the testimony of the Lord. 2 Timothy again. 2 Timothy chapter 1. Verse 8 reads, Therefore do not be ashamed of the testimony of the Lord, nor of his prisoner, but share with me in the sufferings for the gospel according to the power of God. And then dropping down to verse 12, For this reason I also suffered these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep me, to keep what I have committed to him until this day. Hold fast the pattern of sound words, which you have heard from me in faith and love, which are in Christ Jesus. Do not be ashamed to suffer for Christ's sake. I feel as sometimes when we do get ashamed for talking to others about God's word, it's because we're not always bold with what we're presenting to others. But we have to look at it with the servant's mindset that this is something bigger than ourselves. This isn't about us. When someone rejects what you have to say about God's word, I mean, it's not that they're rejecting you. It's that they are rejecting the word of God. And they are going to be held accountable for that. So just because everyone that you talk to doesn't agree with what you are saying does not give you an excuse to become discouraged or to be ashamed. Especially when it's something as big as God's word, something as important as this. But we need to hold fast to God's word. Matthew chapter 10. Matthew chapter 10 and in verse 32. Therefore, whoever confesses me before men, him I will also confess before my Father who is in heaven. This should hit home pretty well that we need to be getting the message out. Ring the message out, not afraid to confess to others what we believe in as Christians. Let's make sure that we are spending more time with God's message rather than the messaging app on Facebook, because God's message is so much more important, and that is truly what we need to be focusing on. I feel like a teacher. Everybody gets all anxious when they want to see what you're writing on the board. Lastly, let your light shine. Using these items that are on Facebook and applying them to our lives spiritually as Christians, I want us to look at this last idea of letting our light shine. And you won't find this button on Facebook. You can look, but you won't find it. And we need to take every chance that we get to let our light shine, because we are first and foremost told to. Look over in Philippians. Philippians 2 and in verse 15, that you may become blameless and harmless, children of God, without fault in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world. Yes, it is a perverse and wicked world that we live in, but we are still to shine as lights in this world that we live in. And then once the scripture that we read this morning, over in Matthew chapter 5, talks about this exact same point. Matthew chapter 5. Matthew 5, just reading verses 15 and 16. Nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. So let your light shine before men, that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. Once again, this is the verse that we read earlier in the scripture, that we need to be letting our light shine, always. It would be very hard to even proclaim God's message to others if we can't even live correctly ourselves in the first place. Kind of going to tie this idea of Facebook and letting our light shine in here for a second, combining the two. Facebook is something that people talk about so much at school and maybe in the workplace, and it's kind of what spurned this sermon for me a little bit. And we have a great chance to let our light shine on something like Facebook. For those of you that maybe don't have a social networking site or something like that, it's such an easy way. All you have to do is get up, get on it, and just post what you're feeling. And you can post anything. You can even post something as simple as a scripture from God's Word. And it's so easy to spread His Word by just posting verses and letting others see the Christ living in you. I actually assigned this as a homework assignment in Bible class for people to post a verse, or if they could post a verse because they didn't have Facebook, on Facebook, a verse that they wanted others to read. Because it's such an easy way for us to let our light shine, to let others see the Christ living in us. Yes, we are forced to live on this earth, but that does not mean that we have to be of the world. And by countering all of the wicked and trashy, just filthy, vile stuff that's on Facebook, by posting something that is so uplifting and something that is so much more important than anything else that can be on Facebook, I mean, you don't know what that will do for others. Maybe that verse that they see might prick somebody's heart, and they might decide to follow Christ, and maybe lead the Bible study. You never know what posting one verse can do. And Facebook can be maybe a great tool to get God's Word out to others, to let others know that the knowledge of God and the love of God is consumed by us. So I want to leave you with one last thought, and that's over in 2 Peter chapter 1. 2 Peter chapter 1 and in verse 19. And so we have the prophetic word confirmed, which you do well to heed as a light that shines in a dark place, until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts. We have a chance to be that light that shines in a dark place every day that we live, even if it is on something as small as Facebook. Let us never forget that chance and opportunity that we have. I hope that everyone was able to take something from this lesson spiritually, and not just about the tools of Facebook, and kind of some basics for us, a bread and butter sermon about some of the basics of Christianity and some things that we always need to keep in mind about letting our light shine to others. But at this time, we have an opportunity to maybe those that have not been living as they should and have been struggling with certain things in their life, or if you are yet to become a Christian would like to do so, please don't hesitate and come forward as we stand and sing the song selected.